With that being said, we have to talk about this Super Bowl halftime show. There is so much to talk about. The greatest Super Bowl halftime show of the 21st century. I thought it was great. I understood every word. I don't know what everybody was complaining about. People said, I can't understand a word of the Super Bowl halftime show. This is ours. This is America. I was like, I don't know what you're talking about. I understood every word he said. I understood it perfectly. People were saying it's un-American. I'm like, this looks exactly like the neighborhood I grew up in. I was like, this is super relatable. The sugar cane, the nail tech, the salsa dancing. I was like, that looks like where I'm from. I was like, those look like my parents. Those look like mi familia. That's like all my cousins. I think I recognized a few people there. I thought it was great. That was the kind of culture I grew up with. That was kind of the rhythm of where I grew up in Mexico City. And they look like my people, talk like my people. I was like, finally, I feel included. No, I'm joking, of course. Just rage base. You guys are idiots. You guys are idiots, all right? It's just a little rage bait. Hey, just jokes, relax. Everyone's going to be okay. What do you need, a safe space? Here, we'll rent an overflow space and, we'll hang up some red, white, and blue streamers and we'll put some country music on, okay? We'll do a little counter programming. Okay, would that make you feel better? Do you need a little safe space? This song is in Spanish. This isn't English. This is Spanish. Hey, it's okay. We have some counter programming. We rented an overflow room. We're going to play some country music. There. It's all right. It's going to be fine. We'll have some ranch dressing. We'll have some Domino's pizza. It's going to be fine. No, I'm kidding. I'm just guys. Since when did our side become like this? Maybe we've always been like this and I just never saw it. Here's my unironic take about the halftime. I'm joking around a little bit. Here's my unironic take. As we have to talk about a couple of things. We have to talk about the halftime show. We can't talk about it without also discussing the Kid Rock thing that was going on somewhere else. What the fuck was that? I mean, if that's the best we have to offer, honestly, I'm switching sides. If that's, seriously, they said this is the all-American halftime show, God, family, and it's like, okay, if that's the all-American halftime show, I don't know, guys. We're losing them. You know, we got to come up with something better because that was a tough watch. If it is a requirement to pretend to like that, to be like a patriot, like I can't do it. I'm just telling you up front. I'm going to be honest with you. Full disclosure, I can't do it. I think I'd rather kill myself than pretend to like that. So you're telling me we're at the Super Bowl party with the normies, with the hoes, with the chuds and the faggots. We're at the Super Bowl watch party. We're having our taquitos. We're having our wings, pizza, watching the big game. Everybody's having a good time. You're telling me we have to turn off the TV or we have to switch the input. We have to go to the Rumble app and watch some AI ad about like alternative medicine. And then we have to watch Kid Rock and this like generic country music. And we have to pretend to like this. We have to all be like, this is really good. She's really good. I'm not doing it. I can't do it. It sucks. And, not for nothing, didn't we do this for the RNC? Isn't this just like our token celebrity? Didn't Kid Rock play the RNC? It's just like a freak show. It's like Amber Rose was there last year at the 2 years ago at the RNC, Kid Rock. And I'm watching the show. I actually watch it this afternoon, and I'm like, yeah, this is kind of like maybe a section of what we're about that is kind of going away, and maybe there's no bringing it back. I don't know. Is there anything kind of worth hanging on to there? It's kind of a rough thing. And I said this on Telegram, and it was a little controversial, but let's be honest. The Bad Bunny halftime show, let's be perfectly honest, it wasn't a militantly woke show. It just wasn't. The way that conservatives were talking about it, I thought it was going to be Drag Queen Story Hour. The way that conservatives were fear-mongering and creating this anxiety about this halftime show, they're like, it's going to be an anti-ICE, anti-Trump. They're going to burn the American flag. He's going to be cross-dressing. It's not what it was. And let's take a step back and not look at it through the lens of being a chud that is obsessed with politics. Let's take a step back and look at it through the eyes of a normie. It's like a Latino-themed show. It's like a different theme. And yeah, it's in Spanish, got it. And yeah, it's very Puerto Rican, it's very Latin. But if I'm a normie and I'm watching this, it's basically just an inoffensive Latin-themed show. And it's not really that political. Obviously, there's a political subtext, and we can get into that. The significance of it is not lost on anybody that in the middle of this ICE thing, in the middle of the mass deportations and the phenomenon of ICE removals, which heavily target Hispanics, the significance is not lost on anybody that you have this celebration of Latin America, and it's in Spanish. And we know this artist's politics, this Bad Bunny character. I don't think any white Americans know who he is, listen to him. This is an artist for Latin Americans in the United States, outside the United States. And so to have this guy, and also we know his politics in particular. He said, fuck ICE at the Grammys and all that. And then at the end, he comes out with all the different flags from Latin America. Love triumphs over hate. Of course, there is a subtext. I understand that. But if you step outside of yourself as a chud that, like I said, you're obsessed with politics, and you go into the big social outing of the year, the Super Bowl watch party, and you can't stop thinking about politics and Trump and, you know, this kind of stuff. If you're a normie and you're watching it, it's basically inoffensive. It's not explicitly political. It's implicitly political. It's not actually antagonistic. I didn't feel, and I say this as a right-wing white American, as really a far-right white nationalist, whatever you want to say, I did not feel antagonized by the show. I didn't feel like the show was taunting me. I didn't feel like it was antagonizing me. I didn't feel that it was defiant. I didn't feel like it was militant or anti-American. I think that it was actually, and I say this from the point of view of what it is propositionally, it's positive. And I don't mean by that that it's good. I mean that it was a positive message. And the message was the U.S. and Canada and all the countries of the Americas were celebrating all the people. And so whereas maybe different expressions of wokeism in the past were very negative, it was about saying, fuck white people, fuck America, and conservatives and Christians. And it was about giving them the middle finger and deliberately taunting them and antagonizing them and reveling in how antagonistic they were being. This, it was almost like the mirror image of that. And rather, it was celebrating the diversity of the Latin Americans. And it was a propositionally positive message. And arguably, there was even, you could say, an olive branch saying, God bless America, arguably that's a political thing in itself, but waving the U.S. flag, throwing that in there, not having it loaded up with degeneracy, not having it completely loaded up with, LGBT type stuff or feminist stuff. You could argue that's something like an olive branch. In a way, it's inclusive towards chuds. Like a normie who is not aligned or a chud could actually watch it and plausibly not feel like they're being attacked. Now, why do I point this out? A lot of people are not going to like me saying this because people are going to say, well, you know, what are you talking about? It's in Spanish. It's cultural imperialism. They are brown and they're speaking Spanish and that's anti-white, et cetera, et cetera. And I get all that. Here's the reason why I'm saying this. We have to reconcile and come to terms with the fact that the left is a different animal today than it was 5 years ago. Something changed 5 years ago. The culture began to shift. And I think it started around 2021. After Joe Biden was inaugurated, and this is in the middle of the pandemic, and it's after BLM and the riots, and you have the Ukraine war, which starts a year later in 2022. You have a lot of criticism of critical race theory. It's right around this time that I think the culture fully shifted or began to shift. And it began to shift because people saw the contradictions inherent in wokeism. And what were those contradictions? So they had everybody posting the black square, Black Lives Matter, BLM, he can't breathe. But then at the same time, everybody saw the riots and the summer of love and the crime, and they saw what abolishing the police looks like. They also saw a lot of anti-white hatred. And so people started to say, wait a second. To the extent that a normie believes in wokeism, which is equality and anti-racism and kumbaya and all this, tolerance, pluralism, people said, this doesn't really work. Because on the one hand, we are saying equality and tolerance and this sort of thing. I can't breathe. At the same time, in effect, it is anti-white and it's crime. And it's actually just making everybody out to be a hypocrite and making everybody out to look stupid. Here everybody was sympathetic, raising the fist, taking the knee, posting the square. And what did these black people do? They then burned down the city. And actually, the BLM organization was stealing from everybody. Not only did they burn down the city, but they actually burned down their own city. So on the one hand, you're arguing that we need a better quality of life for black people. How do we do that? Let's destroy all the infrastructure. I'm not saying that. I think normies thought this. These were powerful arguments for normies. They said, so BLM is corrupt. They said abolishing the police leads to crime. It seems like an excuse actually for crime. And so much of it is just anti-white. And we saw that with critical race theory. People got sick of the COVID lockdowns. They saw the Democrat politicians were having dinner in restaurants while they were forcing everybody to mask. They saw the lunacy of the double maskers, the fake science. They found out many of the conspiracies were true. Then with Ukraine, people saw that we're raising the flag for democracy and liberalism, but you're putting all this money behind a totally corrupt government. They don't hold elections. So there was sort of this cultural moment in 2021 and 2022, I think, when people became disenchanted and disillusioned with woke, left-wing, liberal hegemony. They saw what we saw years before, what many of the disaffected young white men saw in 2016 with the first Trump election, in 2017, in 2018, all of this futurist female, anti-white, global citizen type stuff that we saw then. I think the normies caught up about 5 or 6 years later. And they saw the censorship, the foreign wars, the lockdowns, the BLM crap, the anti-whiteness. And I think slowly but surely, people started to turn against it. Now, the left has adapted. And I think you're starting to see what I would call a post-woke leftism. And they have sort of synthesized the critiques of wokeism. And you see this in the rise of dark woke and the dirtbag left and these guys like Cumtown, where they're able to say racial slurs in an ironic way. And you got guys like Shane Gillis. I actually consider Shane Gillis to be like a post-woke left-wing comedian, where they can present as a chud. They can present as maybe culturally, racially insensitive, in reality holding liberal politics. And maybe he's a bad example. Maybe he's not a Democrat. But he shows how it's possible to be still liberal, still maybe holding a woke politics, but not with that overbearing, over-the-top woke demeanor, the kind of censorship and blue-haired, triggered SJW type stuff from the years before. I also think about Kamala Harris's election. Now, Kamala, she was the vice president. There was a machine that propelled her into the nomination after Biden stepped down. But when she picked a vice president, she picked Tim Walz as basically an olive branch to white people. They said, we need a white football coach from the Midwest, from Minnesota, to get white men on board. They started selling a camouflage hat. What do you think that was? That was their version of a MAGA hat. Think about it. In 2016, they said the MAGA hat is a swastika. In 2024, they had their own version of it. Why? It was the same purpose. The MAGA hat is a trucker hat. It was supposed to say, we are the white working class. We are truckers. We are welders, plumbers. What was the camo hat? It was a hunter's hat. It was supposed to say, yes, Democrats can be hunters and own guns and coach football and fix a pickup truck. It was a self-conscious outreach to white men. You had white dudes for Kamala. In 2016, they were practically saying, don't vote for us. In 2016 and 2020, they were practically saying, fuck white men. We hate white men. Don't vote for us. Don't identify as white. It's shameful. In 24, they said, no, we're white dudes for Kamala. We're white, we're men, and we're voting Democrat. And don't get me wrong, yes, that was very like gay coded and it was for faggots and pussies. But there was this, clearly there's a shift happening. And what would you say the shift is? They have integrated this into their worldview. And they've sort of taken MAGA, which is an appeal to the white working class. And you could say it's an authenticity. It's a level of performative vulgarity. I think of J.D. Vance, who works in swear words into his speeches. Everything is, I was talking to some white dude and we did some normal shit. Like, it's incorporating this sort of thing into the repertoire. And so the Democrats and the left are sort of taking multiculturalism. They're taking left-wing economic populism, which is this anti-millionaire and billionaire thing, anti-capitalist thing. They're taking their left-wing program and they're integrating into it the MAGA hat. They're integrating into it maybe a looser speech code. They're not going to freak out about slurs. And they're integrating into it an acceptance of white men. We're not going to beat the shit out of white men explicitly anymore. They're integrating these things in. And I think that we have to deal with the fact that if the left stops being militantly anti-white, they actually become formidable again. In a word, if the left stops being militantly, explicitly, aggressively anti-white, in other words, if they sort of live up to their own values, they start being formidable again. Because there's a lot of people out there. I think about guys like Dan Bilzerian, who's a friend of mine. And Dan Bilzerian, I mean, he's probably as right-wing as it gets. He's got like libertarian politics. But if a Democrat in the future, like a Ryan Grimm or a Max Blumenthal or a Glenn Greenwald, that sort of person steps up and says, you know, I'm kind of like a libertarian on guns. And I'm kind of a libertarian on social issues. I think that's a culture war. But I'm left-wing on economics. I want to eat the rich. And I'm a non-interventionist on foreign policy. And I'm Israel critical. And I don't hate white men, but I'm just sort of tolerant of the diversity in the country. A Democrat with that kind of program can win a guy like Dan Bilzerian, can win a guy like Joe Rogan, can win a guy like, you know, maybe many of the people that were watching that halftime show. And I think that it would be a mistake for the right wing to run the same playbook in 2026 that they did in 2016. This kind of Matt Walsh, grumpy, spiteful thing, it's not going to work. Because I watched the Super Bowl halftime show from the point of view of a normie. And you know what I thought? I thought it was fun. I thought it was lighthearted. I thought it was fun. I thought it was catchy. Good beat. It was just fun. It wasn't actually overtly offensive. It wasn't an LGBT nightmare. It wasn't a, you know, if anything, the Kendrick Lamar show was more woke. The Kendrick Lamar show is, of course, they got Sam Jackson as Uncle Sam, and it's a whole thing about racism. If anything, every black performance is way more woke, defiant, anti-American, aggressive, sort of challenging white people. This was not like that. And what did we see in the Turning Point All-American halftime show? If anything, it was self-ghettoizing. It was taking our ball and going home. Everybody's enjoying the Super Bowl. 135 million people are enjoying the big game and the Latin halftime show and whatever. And then you have all these conservatives that took their ball and went home. Turning Point USA, this like political group, puts on some other show with Kid Rock. And what's even the point other than to say, you know, well, we're just protesting all of that. Why? Because it's in Spanish? And by the way, it's a totally contradictory message. The Heritage Foundation had a Super Bowl ad where they have like a Jewish family and a black family and an Hispanic family and an Asian family and a white family all being Christian eating at dinner. And so it's like, what's the Republican message? It's like, well, we're not white nationalist and we're not white identitarian. We're inclusive, but you can't speak Spanish. And so it just takes us to a place where the white right, the kind of white Republican response actually comes across as being overly political, bitter, resentful, spiteful, and just kind of sad and depressing. And I watched, on the other hand, the All-American halftime show from Turning Point, and it's all country. It's all like generic country music. There isn't one star out of the whole group. And the lyrics are all super political. The lyrics are all like, I hate trannies. And it's like, can't we make a song without it being about the culture war? You know, if you translate some of the Bad Bunny songs, they're about like taking pictures with your friends at a party. Then you get these country music songs and they're like, I can't be country no more because I'm getting canceled by the woke mob. Like, that's the song. The song is like some old guy in a leather jacket with a fucking hair transplant. And the lyrics are like, I can't be country no more because I'm getting canceled for saying boys can't be girls. And it's like, can I watch the fucking halftime show concert without a guy with a t-shirt that says based talking about trannies in the school? Like, really? Those are the lyrics. The lyrics are super political and they're just sad. That was one of the songs. The song was like, we're getting bullied by the left because we just want to cut the grass and go to work. And the left is picking on us. And it's like loser festival. Fucking loser festival. And say what you want about the Bad Bunny thing. It feels like triumphant. They're celebrating their culture. They have actually an expansive, inspiring vision, objectively speaking. The photo is, love is more powerful than hate. That is an asinine thing to say. It contains nothing. There's no content. But it is something that is, you could say, is emotive, like it's sentimental. And this inclusive, expansive idea of, hey, we're all Americas are part of this thing, like that's actually uplifting in an objective way. Then you go to Turning Point Fest and it's like, oh, we can't be who we are because the left is picking on us. Oh, we're being oppressed because the left is mad. They're canceling us for saying men can't be women. One is so hyper-political and uninspired and sad and weak and basically just like a bitch fest. And the other is like, no, we are the world. Like our message isn't even political. Our message is just the way things are. And so I said it on Telegram. This is my honest prognosis. If we embrace that, whatever that was, the Kid Rock halftime show, we're cooked. It's just over. Okay, Kid Rock sucks. Nobody under the age of 40 knows a single Kid Rock song. Nobody is listening to Kid Rock. And anybody that is watching that is pretending to like it because they're spitefully sitting out and self-ghettoizing away from the real halftime show. And honestly, pretending to be offended. It's literally fake outrage. Self-ghettoizing, being overly political, pretending to like the things because of the values they purport to have. In other words, we have become the kind of far left in a certain sense. It's the same kind of behavior that I think alienated the normies from the left 10 years ago. So I thought it was a big L. I was watching that and just felt like depressed. I'm watching this show and I'm like, it's boring. The costumes suck. The production sucks. The songs suck. The lyrics are weird. The acts are weird. I'm like, if this is the best we have to offer, I think everybody's going to go with Latino futurism. If the white right, if the best we have to offer is this sad, dying gasp of white culture, it's like some white trash country hip hop artist from Detroit from the 90s. If that's the best we have to offer, people are going with liberal hegemony. And if liberal hegemony is not giving a middle finger in their face, people are going to go with it. You know, in other words, white people are going to feel better being included in liberal hegemony and being included in Hollywood and included in the Super Bowl and included in the Grammys. As long as white people feel like they're not actually being like deliberately offended and oppressed, they're going to prefer that. So we need to come up with something different. The kind of Matt Walsh grumbling about the halftime show every year like it's the end of the world. It's just not attractive. It doesn't attract. So you can take that and you can do whatever you want with that. You can say that, oh, I'm only saying that because I'm Mexican and whatever. You can cope, but that's the truth. And I'll tell you something about Donald Trump. The reason that Donald Trump was so successful is because that he understood this. In 2016, we had come off after this string of defeats. It was Mitt Romney, John McCain. Who were the contenders? It's people like John Huntsman, Ted Cruz. Our bench sucked. And the reason that Trump was able to electrify the movement is because he came from New York. Okay, he didn't come from the Country Music Awards, no offense. He came from New York City, an actual, real, respectable, world-class city. And he came from Hollywood, and he was famous and a billionaire. And he talked like a celebrity, and he looked like a celebrity, and he had aura like a celebrity. And for young people like myself, and for young tech guys and young extremely online guys and trolls and libertarians, The reason that we were enamored with Trump is because he was progressive, forward-thinking, sexy, exciting. Yes, there was sex appeal. Why? Because he has a supermodel wife. Because he has a skyscraper with his name on it that's made out of gold. Because he has a fucking plane with his name on it. Because he has a TV show. Because he's been in Hollywood movies. Because he's famous. Okay? And that is what was exciting. It was this idea that we were not dorky losers. That the Republican Party was bigger than these, like, really old people that show up to every Republican thing for the past 30 years. That is why people like Trump. It was that vision, make America great again. And even the rhetoric, this, like, fiery, fresh rhetoric about nationalism and globalism. It was edgy, futuristic, forward-thinking. And to the extent that we have lost that cultural cachet, it's because we forgot that secret ingredient. We forgot that that is what was behind the success. And you think about where we are now compared to where we are a year ago. A lot of left-wing people are taunting us. Arguably a year ago, we had the culture. And it took us 12 months to lose it. A year ago, the right wing was ascendant, and to be a Democrat felt like to be not cool, felt like to be a loser. We had the comedians, the podcast bros, the live streamers, the celebrities. We had it. And ostensibly we, you know, meaning the broader right wing, obviously I didn't vote for Trump, but it was like the right wing had the initiative. Here we are a year later, totally lost it. And I don't think that we're going to get it back by doubling down on Turning Point and Kid Rock and this kind of crap. It's embarrassing. That's my reality check. That's my reality check about the halftime show. I liked it. And unironically, I liked it. I thought it was fun. I thought it was good pageantry. I like shows. You know that about me. I like shows. I like the dancing. I like the set. And I like music, and I'm open-minded about different kinds of music. I like rap music. I like alternative pop, rock music. I like good music. It was good. It was fun. It was lively. I watched it, and it was attractive. This thing at Turning Point, it fucking sucked. And I see some people trying to do this hot take where they're like, no, they were both bad. No, they really weren't. One was good and one sucked. One was actually a lot of fun and one was a drag. One was about the music and dancing and fun, and one was really weirdly political and just kind of goofy and didn't make any sense, and it was actually paid for by a political nonprofit. So no, I'm not going to do this gay, cowardly, no, it's all Zog slop. No, one was super entertaining. You know, whatever you want to say, the Super Bowl was this unbelievable production. Green Day was excellent. The game was great. I mean, I hate sports, but I watched the game. It was kind of boring for most of it, but, you know, the production was good. Halftime show was exciting. It was good. So, you know, liberalism is sort of unstoppable. If you want to derail liberalism, if you want to derail this machine, we need to be absolutely excellent. We can't be phoning it in. Kid Rock is not going to defeat liberal hegemony, okay? If you think the fucking Super Bowl and the military-industrial complex and everything that America is, Hollywood, all of these world wonders that America creates, if you think that's going to be derailed by a Kid Rock concert and, like, you know, if we just get enough of the silent majority of QAnon believers and alternative medicine believers and, you know, weird Christian cultists that support Israel, you know, if we just get enough of those people in a stadium and enough red, white, and blue lights and stuff, that we're going to win, you're wrong. You're wrong. So, anyway. That's my take on the Super Bowl halftime show. I do think it matters. I do think it's culturally significant. And I think that we need to take it seriously. And I'm going to be honest with you. the left has fully recovered. They have taken back the initiative. And I know, you know, maybe saying fuck ICE at the Grammys didn't work. You know, this is not, I don't think, the same kind of wokeism that put everybody off 5 years ago. It's a different animal.